Good morning, you're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by new panelist Wendy Lou Gillespie. Welcome to Spindale.
Thank you.
We've also got Carol Rifkin and Justin Farrar on hand. Today, we're talking about a subject suggested by What It Is panelist Jeff Eason and distinctive drummers. Are there any more distinctive drummers? When he writes, I remember when the drummer was an integral part of the band. Keith Moon helped define the sound of The Who, as did Ringo Starr and John Bonham with their respective bands. Bill Bruford made significant contributions to both Yes and King Crimson, and you can't spell ELP without the P, Carl Palmer. What happened? I can't think of a single current band that features the drummer as a significant performer. Have they all been relegated to human metronomes? I need more cowbell.
Well, I actually think there are a bunch of distinctive drummers, but in terms of rock, you kind of have to dig deep into the underground. A few years ago, I was addicted to a lot of bands that were doing a kind of music people called brutal prog or prog noise rock, which was basically punk and hardcore filtered through progressive rock. And one of my favorites was this guy, Brian Chippendale, of the band Lightning Bolt, which is just bass and drums. And this guy was an absolute monster. Like, when you hear older guys talk about some of the greats, like, I saw Keith Moon drum and you went for 4 straight hours and it was all crazy. To me, Chippendale definitely embodies that in modern form. Guy's totally gonzo.
I don't know. There's some good drummers out there. Actually, Bluegrass and Old Time actually have a drummer of choice. You might not know that they do, but if you see Emmylou Harris's band or Sam Bush's band or John Cowan's band, there's a guy named Larry Adamaniak who appears in like every bluegrass band you're recording. His name is just out there on everything all the time. And I think he's probably the only known entity in Bluegrass and Old Time as a drummer. But there's... What about like Green Day, like Trey Cool? You know, he's got some personality, you think?
One of my favorite new bands is Kings of Leon, and Nathan Followill, I think he's incredible. I mean, I can listen to the Kings all week. You know, they're one of those bands that I can put them in, and I can listen to them every day and get excited about their music. And the drummer is part of the reason. Like, drums to me are huge. You know, I did percussion when I was in marching band and symphony and
I have a cowbell.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. Cowbell, and it is great. You know, everything is better with more cowbell, I think. But I get Kings of Leon. Thank you, cowbell. Lots of cowbell.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know it.
As far as jazz drummers, I don't really know of any really recent ones. Art Blakey was always one of my favorites.
Paul Motion, his name brings up fairly readily when you talk about distinctive drummers. He's still fairly active and has a really nice touch and a lot of color to his drumming. And as far as drummers around lately, I'd say Questlove. He's a guy that comes to mind from the Roots and a band that can really put it out there live. And Questlove also a really humorous fellow. He's got a quick wit.
He's incredible.
I think Zach Hill is a big one from Hella because he's an interesting guy. He started off in a band, Hella, which drew a lot of comparisons to Lightning Bolt. But now he's gone off and kind of done his own, like, pop albums, straight up pop records, which are very rhythmic. But the center of the music are his drums. But he writes and composes everything. And I believe, I might be getting this confused, but he's kind of slipped in with the whole Mike Patton crowd now. But Zach Hill's also in a project called Goon Moon with that guy Twiggy Ramirez, who was in Marilyn Manson for a while, and it's kind of like a avant-garde shock rock, and that's a good project too.
All right.
I admit that I'm light on drum knowledge, so I did ask a few young friends, and they said, well, you know, you have to mention Smashing Pumpkins, that you have to talk about Jimmy Chamberlin, and I said, oh, okay, I'll bring that up. But
there's a good bit of drums in that country. Is it Country Bluegrass Soul? Is that the documentary about the early Bluegrass Festival from 1972?
The Earl Scruggs Review used drums.
And
right.
Then there's this Osbournes.
Osbourne brothers also had drums. And they're the only drums I've ever heard Dennis play on.
Yeah, they do Ruby.
Going Across the Mountain.
And they're just playing it, and then they decide to end the song. The drummer just kind of starts wailing on the kit. And it sounds like this, like, big-time classic rock ending, just wailing on his drums.
Ruby, Are You Mad?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 70s. 70s progressive bluegrass was Fender Stratocaster and a drum set with bluegrass music. They didn't really alter the music that much, but the drum just really kicked it and changed it. And there were a lot of that went on in North Carolina at the Red, White, and Blue Bluegrass and all those big events. So,
another great drummer that I've seen, if you heard Trailer Bride, the Moaners, Laura King. I mean, it's just her and Melissa, and they sound sometimes like a five-piece band. And she really carries the sound really well. I mean, she's amazing.
What do you think? Email us what it is at wncw.org. Distinctive Drummers, our topic today on Public Radio. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by new panelists Wendy Lou Gillespie, Carol Rifkin, and Justin Farrar. Until next time.